Our other reading for today will be from John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Well, friends, one thing we love to have as a family are photo albums like this. These little photo books, we have them made every so often. They're a great reminder of things that have happened over the past little period. Perhaps you'll have photo albums, photo books like this in your home. If not physical, perhaps it'll all be on the cloud now, these photo libraries. You won't be able to make out the individual photos there, but since we are a young family, we play right to the stereotype. Almost all of these photos are photos of our kids. That's why as parents, we'll think all of these photos are cute. And then kids, when you grow up, you'll discover that half of these photos are embarrassing. But these photos, these photo albums, these photo libraries, they're these collections of all these different memories and moments in our lives, pictures of all these different scenes that we encounter. And of course, they capture and represent a whole range of different experiences. Big moments, significant moments in our lives. Small moments, mundane moments in our lives. Of course, they include both happy and joyful occasions. They also include sad times, painful times. A good friend of mine, a pastor in the UK, he puts it like this. He says, imagine you can snapshot all these different scenes in your life, your birthdays and barbecues, graduations, hospital appointments. You're going to find a whole range of different scenes. And then he says this. He says, of all the pictures we can have in our lives, there is something especially painful about this picture, crying at the gravesite. This may be a scene that many of us will have experienced, perhaps even quite recently. Even if not we ourselves, we will have seen others weeping in the face of death, weeping at the graveside, perhaps friend or family. Kids, perhaps you've seen your parents weeping. I certainly remember that as a kid. There is something especially painful about weeping in the face of death, weeping at a graveside. And that is the scene that our passage opens with today. See, what we're going to spend a few moments looking at are verses 11 to 18 of what was read out to us. You can follow along on your bulletins, the right-hand column there. And the opening scene that we're greeted with is this. It's a woman weeping by the graveside. See, by this point in the day, the two disciples that were there, they'd gone back to where they'd come from. But Mary stayed. Verse 11, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And she was still seeking after Jesus, clinging on to him. All her hopes and expectations were bound up with him. And so you can picture the scene there. Just imagine what it would look like, what it would sound like. There she was outside the tomb. Friends, that is how our passage begins. But it's not how our passage ends. Because wonderfully, what happens next changes her world forever. What happens next transforms Mary's experience of this moment. In fact, friends, what happened at Easter has changed the whole world for all of us. See, this morning, I wonder, what is it that you think of when you think of Easter. It's wonderful that we can gather here today from a whole range of backgrounds, both young and old, those who are regulars at church, those perhaps who are here for the first time. And I wonder, what do you see as the significance of these events that we remember? Put it this way, what is it that you are celebrating today at Easter? Because what I want us to see this morning is that Easter is brimming with good news. See, friends, what our passage holds out to us today is that Jesus brings an end to weeping. Jesus brings an end to weeping. Easter is so much more than just a nice occasion to get together. It's so much more than an excuse for children's activities. Easter is world-changing, category-changing. In fact, the good news of Easter reaches even into our darkest moments in life, because Jesus brings an end to weeping. We'll see that in the way that our episode unfolds. You see, as we join the action of verse 11, the opening scene is a woman weeping by the graveside. But what happens next? Well, verse 11 again. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. In the midst of her weeping, Mary looks into the tomb. But instead of Jesus' body, she finds two angels sitting where that body had been. Now, throughout the Bible, whenever you come across angels, they appear at these significant moments in God's purposes, at these big junctures in God's plan. They show us that something big is going on, that God is up to something. He is on the move. And so they're here to announce to Mary what God is doing. And they announce it in the form of a question. Verse 13. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Now Mary replies, she's looking for Jesus' body. They've taken it away and she doesn't know where it is. But what I want us to look at is this question. See, the tone of this question, the angels weren't telling her off. Now, the angels weren't saying, "Shh, Mary, you're disturbing us." Now this question wasn't one of rebuke. This question was one of sympathy. The angels ask Mary, "Why are you weeping? There's no more need to weep. There is no need to weep anymore." See, the angels there were there to announce to her the magnitude of what was going on. The body was no longer there because Jesus was no longer dead. There was no more need to weep. Perhaps you can think of it this way. Many kids will have a favorite soft toy at home. Something they cling to, something they hold on to. Adults, grown-ups, I'm sure you had one as well as a kid. Perhaps you still have yours, perfectly preserved, safe at home. And well, my kids are no different. And our little one, some of you will know this, is obsessed with bunnies. And so she has Bun Bun. Basically part of the family. If you were to look through our photo albums, Bun Bun is there in almost all of the photos. She clings to it. It's her safety companion, so to speak. It goes everywhere with her. That's probably why it's so dirty. It goes everywhere with her, and she has barely known a night of sleep without it. So, early on, Bun Bun. There we go. And so, when we discovered how much she liked this bunny, and we realized we needed two of them, just in case we ever lost one. Well, small move, you think? Well, after we moved to Hong Kong, soon after we moved here, actually, the unthinkable happened. We got home from the mall, and one of them was missing. I mean, it genuinely felt like we lost someone in the family. We lost one of them. But it's okay, you're saying we had another one. We planned for this occasion. Well, the next day, the same thing happened again. Tragedy struck. We lost the tears that night as our little one. She couldn't sleep. I mean, we wanted to do everything. I went back to that mall to look everywhere to try to find it. Now, it is a happy ending, and then later on, we bought some more. We shipped some more from America, so it's all okay now. But you go back to that night of crying. And as a parent, you want to do everything you can, right? Imagine I had managed to find it. I'd run back home. I'd say to her, sweetie, why are you weeping? There's no more need to weep. It hasn't been lost forever. See, as Mary peeks into the tomb, she sees an empty tomb. But the angels announce to her what's going on. They announce to her the good news of Easter. Jesus was not lost forever. He really did die. But death had no hold on him. In fact, Jesus conquered death. And in his resurrection, he brought about a whole new order of things. He ushered in a whole new world, a world where death was no longer the end, where death does not have the last laugh. No, he brought about a world that was marked by life. Now, of course, this is huge. This is no small thing to say that. And it doesn't sink in right away for Mary. Verse 14, we read on. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" But thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." There he is. The one that she longed for, the one that she clung to, standing right in front of her, but she couldn't recognize him. Now, it's not that Jesus was somehow now unrecognizable. It wasn't like he was wearing a disguise so that people couldn't realize it was him. The fact that she then recognizes him later shows you that he is the same Jesus. Now, she couldn't recognize him because she struggled to see beyond the world that she knew all too well. And the only life she knew was life that involved death. And the only world she knew was a world that was filled with weeping. Of course, it's the same with us. And Mary here, she was confronted in Jesus with a world where death is no longer the end. And she struggled to see it. And of course, it's the same for us. So we struggle even to picture what life was like in a different generation. Kids, when your parents tell you about what life was like when they were your age, it blows our minds. How could you live like that? Or maybe your grandparents, even more so. We can't imagine a world like that. It feels like a different world. How could you live without all the comforts and conveniences that we're used to now? How could you live before internet? What do you do in the evenings? It's like a different world. We can't see it. But of course, no matter what generation we're from, the life we know is a life that is tainted by death. And the world that we are familiar with is a world that's filled with weeping. Perhaps this is actually why we find the idea of resurrection so hard to accept. If you see, it's too far-fetched. We can't imagine it. We can't picture it. Perhaps we might think, "Oh, resurrection, that's just unbelievable. I can't get my head around that." But I just wonder whether that's really what we believe deep down. Think back to that photo album of your life, the memories there, those moments when we are crying, when we are weeping. You see, our weeping tells us something about ourselves. It reveals something about ourselves. It reveals that we feel powerless. In the face of sad things, in the face of death, we feel powerless. We can't do anything about it, and so we cry. But it also reveals that we feel restless. When we see the sad things in our lives, and when we see death in the world, we don't shrug our shoulders. We don't just keep going as if nothing big happened. We cry. We cry out. We cry out and say, "No. No, this shouldn't be. This can't be." We're convinced that death should not be the end. In our deepest longings, we long for resurrection. And friends, the good news of Easter here proclaims to us, here he stands. Jesus Christ, risen from the grave, resurrected in glory. When he died on the cross, it could have looked like defeat, but it wasn't. He didn't stay dead. And his resurrection declares him victorious, victorious over sin, victorious over death. He ushered in this new order of things, a world of resurrection life. See, Jesus Christ brings an end to weeping. And he brings this for all who belong to him. And you see that here in Mary. See, what Jesus does is, with a word, he draws Mary into this new world that he's brought about. He opens her eyes to this world that she is part of. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. There's a real beauty to this scene. Jesus himself had said earlier in John's gospel that he knows his sheep. He calls his own sheep by name, and his sheep know his voice. See, as Jesus calls her by name, as Mary hears Jesus' voice, the penny drops. She knows this voice. This is the voice of Jesus. She belongs to him. And this world that Jesus is bringing about belongs to her. She is part of this world. There's something incredibly tender about this encounter. As we are presented with the power that Jesus has over death, we get this glimpse into what he's like. Jesus has just conquered death, our great enemy. He is the risen, glorious King of the universe. And who does he reveal himself to first? He comes first to a woman weeping at the graveside. That's who he comes to. That's who he draws near to. That's who he draws in to this great new world that he has brought about. Friends, that is what Jesus is like. If you're here this morning and you're not all that familiar with what he is like, if you've not read one of the gospel accounts, let me encourage you. We've got these copies of John's gospel at the welcome table. They're free to take away. Have a read. Because what you will find is that this is what Jesus is like. As he ushers in this whole new world order, he comes to Mary. He brings her weeping into rejoicing. And what a contrast to that opening scene that we had. He draws her into this new world, and he brings an end to weeping for Mary. But of course, not just for Mary, but for all who belong to him. Verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," as she told them that he has said these things to her. Jesus explains to Mary, there's more to come. There's still more to come. This is just the beginning. Jesus is going back to the Father to prepare the way for others to come, for others to know him, for others to be with him like this. Friends, the good news of Easter is good news for us. Think of all those stories or great stories that you love to read or maybe you watch on the screen. And when they're done well, they're so captivating. And you wish you were part of that world. And maybe by the end, you almost feel that you are a part of that world. But of course, you end up having to close that book. And you put that book back on the shelf. Friends, what we have here isn't just a happy ending that has nothing to do with us. No, this is a great new beginning that we are a part of if we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, how do we belong to Jesus? Well, friends, the good news of Easter is open to all who put their faith and trust in him. For all who turn away from trusting in themselves and instead cling to Jesus by faith. This offer goes out to all of us as we confess Christ alone as our hope in life and death. Friends, all who cling to Christ can be part of this resurrection world. Now, of course, in the present, we will still experience weeping. And we know that in our lives. But when we know Jesus, we know that we can weep with hope. Even our tears can be infused with a confidence that the day is coming when Jesus will bring about this new world in all its fullness, a world that we will be part of, where we too, just like Jesus, will be raised from the grave to be part of this world where there will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. That is the hope of Easter. Friends, this morning, are you weary from living in a world that is filled with weeping? Jesus Christ died and rose again. He lives and reigns forever. He is hope for the weary. In the words of our final song that we'll sing in a moment, what is our hope in life and death? Christ alone. Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Friends, this morning, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Do you belong to him? Have you heard his voice calling you by name? Have you put your faith and trust in him? It may be that you are here this morning and you are still on the outside looking in, grappling with different questions. Questions about who Jesus is, how this all fits together. And perhaps right now, Easter still seems unbelievable. Friends, if that is you, I am so glad you're here. You are so welcome here. There is nothing more important, nothing more urgent to wrestle with than who Jesus is and what he has done. If our one book that we're giving away through Easter is this, Is Easter Unbelievable? I read this just last week. It's incredibly accessible. Why not come and grab one of these? We've got a few left. Come and find me at the end. They're free to take away. Or perhaps you'd like to get in touch. You can scan this QR code. Get in touch. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to help you in this journey. Friends, perhaps this morning you have been looking in from a distance, but now you want to have a closer look at who Jesus is. Well, let me encourage you, this Easter, will you come and look at Jesus Christ? Do you belong to him? If you do, if your life is now bound up with his, will you celebrate? That's why we've gathered here together this morning. That's why we gather together every Sunday. Because we are a people who know that Jesus Christ lives. We are a people who know that he reigns forever. Friends, we are a people who confess together that he alone is our hope in life and in death. This Easter, will you celebrate? Will you stand in wonder at our risen Lord Jesus? Let's finish with the words that we opened with. They'll be on the screen. Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you that our Lord Jesus Christ lives and reigns forever. We thank you that he has brought an end to weeping, that he will bring an end to weeping for all who belong to him. We pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us treasure that all the more today. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, as we close our time together, let's respond with these words from our final song and declare the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing together one last time.